This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. When you go home at night, what are you going home to? We talking single-family home, picket fence kind of thing, a condo in a complex, or maybe an apartment in a big building? An article in the Wall Street Journal this week caught our eye. It said the share of new homes being built as rental apartments is at its highest level in more than 40 years. That's a huge shift. To talk about where we live and why, we're joined by Nicholas Ritsinas. He's Director Emeritus at the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard University. It's nice to talk to you again.
Hey, nice to talk to you.
Let's start with the idea that new home building is shifting to apartments instead of single-family homes. What does that tell us about where Americans want to live, or maybe where Americans can afford to live?
Well, it tells us a lot about the market. Lest we forget, we still build more single-family homes than multifamily homes. But you are right to note that we are seeing a greater increase in the number of multifamily homes. Part of that relates that we overbuilt single-family homes. In the crisis of 2008 and beyond, as we know, we built too many homes, and many of them have now been lost to foreclosure and stand as empty shells. On the other hand, we stopped building multifamily homes during that period. So part of this is a catch-up responding to what has been a changing marketplace.
Who's moving into those apartments? Are we talking about people who are moving out of their parents' homes or people who were hurt by the recession? Who's the market?
Again, a combination of all of those. Clearly, we are starting to see growth in the number of households. For a period of time, we did not when young adults were staying with their parents. But now they're starting to move up. And as they look at what the options are, for some, renting is a very good option for lots of good reasons. On the other hand, for some who may have wanted to buy a home, they find that access to credit is more difficult than it once was.
Let's talk about interest rates. Where they are today, how do you make that calculation, that rent versus buy calculation? We get a lot of calls from people who are nervous that the Federal Reserve's tapering is going to impact their ability to get a good interest rate.
Well, it will. I think most economists would agree that interest rates are more likely to rise than to stay steady or certainly not fall over time. Therefore, this is an advantageous time in terms of the cost of money and the cost of borrowing money. On the other hand, looking at the owning versus renting, there are a number of factors involved, and interest rate is one of them, but not the only one. There's an expectation of what future appreciation may be or what house price decline might be. There's an expectation of what your needs are in terms of where you live and the kinds of family you have and the kinds of room you need. So there are lots of factors going into it, but clearly rising interest rates, to the extent they do rise, are going to make that choice even more difficult.
The firm Trulia ran the numbers and found that in 100 big metro areas, buying a home is 38% cheaper than renting. What does that tell you about buying versus renting? Or is that just too diffuse a number? Does it depend on where you live?
Well, of course, it always depends on where you live and what market you're in and what community you're in and what's going on in that community overall. It tells me that in some cases, we overcorrected in terms of price declines. It tells me that low interest rates do make buying a home more affordable. So it tells me a lot about that. I think what is as interesting, though, is notwithstanding record low interest rates, notwithstanding the recent experience of home price declines, I'm amazed that still so many people are interested in buying a home.
Why do you think that is? What's the psychology behind that?
Hard to say. I think part of it is a long-term belief that people want to control their own property. They want to control their own destiny. Part of it is purely financial. It's a hedge. In financial terms, people are worried that rents may someday rise, and indeed we are seeing in many markets rents rising. Part of that has to do with the stock available. There are more single-family homes that are amenable to larger families than there are apartments overall. So there are a lot of factors going involved in this. But I think this interest in home ownership is one that is of long standing.
So you think the dream of the ownership society still kind of grips the American psyche?
You know, I think in large measure it does. A recent survey that we reported on said that 19 out of 20 people under the age of 45 expect one day to own a home. That doesn't mean they necessarily will. That may not even mean they want to, but they expect to over time. So I think this notion of home ownership and owning a home, while not uniquely American, is certainly embedded here in America.
A lot of millennials are skeptical about owning really anything, it seems. Is there anything wrong with renting indefinitely?
No, not at all. Indeed, one of the problems in the past is we demonize renting. It's as if only if you were dumb, only if you weren't smart, only if you weren't hardworking, only if you weren't entrepreneurial, otherwise you would own a home. I think now we realize for many people, renting is a better financial option overall. And certainly in the kind of market we are for young people, it gives people more mobility options than they would have before.
Nick Gritsinas at Harvard University, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.